There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Today's date, the 29th of December, 2015. It is just about 3 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Standard Time here in the central part of the United States of America. Okay, tonight's broadcast, we're going to... I guess tonight's show is really going to depend on you and how honest you want to be with you. And if you're listening with your family, don't be surprised if somebody says, none of your business, or none of your beeswax, or you just worry about you. Every once in a while on the show, it's good if we kind of test ourselves, do a kind of standard check to see what kind of progress are we making? How well are we learning, absorbing information? What effect is the show having to us or in our lives? And there's no right or wrong answer. It's not like a school grade of A, B, C, D, or F, or even if you grade on a curve, it's not even really pass or fail, succeed or lose. It's really up to the individual. Because everybody's relationship with Christ is what it is. Some people will travel far spiritually and gain amazing enlightenment and have an amazing and astonishing reality of grace. And others, well, they'll know there's grace, but they may never see it. Both can potentially go to heaven, and both can potentially go to hell. But tonight, what we want to do is give you some tools, some information that will help you do a self-examination, kind of a test of yourself. Who are you? Areas that you want to improve. And this might be very personal. It might be something that you just don't want to talk about with your husband or wife, or your mom or dad, or your brother or sister, or your grandparents, or your best friend, or someone that you just know listens to the radio show as well, and you talk to them at school or work. And why not? It doesn't have to be an open book all the time. There's nothing wrong with keeping some of you only for you. So tonight, we're going to bring in words like Pharisees, disciple, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, grace, God, Christ, you, me. And perhaps provide you with information so that you can decide, what type of life are you leading? Are you leading a life that's on a path and a trail and a destiny to the Garden of Eden, to heaven? Or are you one of the countless many who, in the book of Revelations, that, well, let's just say, hope you like basements. So that's where we are with tonight's broadcast. And what we want to do is we want you to be able to express yourselves, how you feel, how this topic perhaps steers your feelings or your thoughts. And so we want to give you as much openness to communicate and express yourself without being judged or condemnation, which means that unless you really want to hear your name on tonight's broadcast, we're probably not going to mention names. We want you to know that you can send an email or a text and spill your guts and say, look, I've been listening to the show for 6 months. I'm just not getting it. I know that I'm probably really not saved, and I've never had a prayer answered, but I'm really starting to see this, and this is my question. Well, it's a lot easier to send something like that if you don't hear my voice say, well, this is Joe Schmo from Kokomo. So, and fortunately, I don't think we've ever had an email or text that said Joe Schmo from Kokomo. And there is a town in the United States of America called Kokomo. And so tonight we're begging you to send text messages and emails about what we're going to be discussing. Jim's got a bucket full of scripture to back this up. So the first thing that we want to start this off with is something that I like to throw at you on a lot of broadcasts, and that is the book of Genesis, and ask you your reality. As you wake up tomorrow on the 30th of December 2015, you get yourself out of bed, you get dressed, and you walk out the door. Is your day going to be similar to Adam and Eve as they walked with Christ in the Garden of Eden? Or are you pretty confident that tomorrow is going to be like today and your life sounds similar and more in tune with the life of Adam and Eve after they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, and the reality was changed? Because Jim, like we've said before on shows, there's a lot of people listening to this show that would be considered a Pharisee, a materialistic person, a person of wealth, influence, and power that is so materialistic and so in tune with the flesh that it's virtually impossible for them to realize that they're living a life that is so far removed from their divine spark that you could almost say the divine spark just doesn't have any spark anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. In fact, you know, the Pharisee word that we're using tonight, I think all of us need to maybe pay a little bit more attention to it. Maybe give it a little bit more, credit, however you want to say it. Because think about that word, Pharisee. It's talking about in the day that Jesus walked, those were the religious people of the day. So those were the people that folks looked up to as godly, godly-minded, pursuing the things of God, quote-unquote having a relationship with God, or the ones that should know something about having a relationship with God. So right now, just even mentioning that, it's almost as though we've lumped all of us into the category of being a Pharisee until we can prove otherwise that our life represents the freedom and the expression that Adam and Eve had with God before they sinned, or our life looks like Jesus. And you know, you think about it, Jesus made the comment, and he said over in John chapter 14, he said, "The works that I do, you shall do also, and greater shall you do because I go unto my Father." Well, we could look at that as the actual tangible results, let's say what people call miracles or healings, the things that were very outward that people saw, the casting out of the devils. And those would be that would be very accurate to say that. But what if also the works that Jesus did was the relationship, the experience of his Father, the closeness that he had, the different type of a life and experience than the Pharisees? What if Jesus is saying, you can have that too? Well, I think it's a really great subject. You know, I was thinking about this, BJ, and we don't have to follow any molds at all. Obviously, we try not to, if anything else. But you know, the world at a time like this, where you're almost to the end of one calendar year, getting ready to go into a new calendar year, a lot of the reality shows, you know, will look back on the year of 2015. I know Time Magazine seems to be pretty famous for at the end of one year looking back, putting out a magazine to look back at the year 2015, the year 2014, etc., etc. Well, in a sense, what we're doing is kind of looking back and saying, what's our progress been like? Can we chart our progress? And what does it mean to our future?
Yeah, in a way we are. Well, in a way we're trying to motivate people to figure that out on their own.
And I totally got that. I just meant it's interesting because the world does this. And our topic tonight, we're really wanting people to do an examination, which is similar.
Well, it is. But instead of looking at the positive highlights, what we're really trying to do is find out what's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of...
It's different, sure.
It's opposite.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants a lot of self-entitlements. And everybody always wants to look at the positive things and the good side. And, well, that's all well and good. But a lot of times, you can fool yourself into thinking everything's fine when it's not.
Sure.
I mean, if something squeaks and rattles... Well, sooner or later, it's going to fall apart and break. And sometimes you can prevent a squeak and a rattle just by doing a little investigating. So I think tonight that's what we're trying to do is
right.
To prevent a total train wreck on a spiritual level and to do a little soul searching, a little reality check on exactly where you are with yourself. And this is with you, and it's not to compare yourself with someone else in the room or in your life. That's one of the worst things that people do. It's one of the catch things. It's one of the hooks. One of the great sales pitches of organized religion is to get you to be competitive or to set the bar and say, well, this is where we all are, and so we're waiting for you to catch up with us.
You know, before the show, you gave the example of, remember, the same gifts and tools were given, but one doghouse, one elaborate house. Share that thing. That was good.
Okay. Think of it this way, okay? This is a very easy, broad stroke, simplistic way to look at the guys and what is afforded to you. Okay. You have a lumber yard and a hardware store combined. I mean, it's got everything from curtains to drapes to paint to light switches to 2x4s to sheets of plywood to bags of cement. You get the idea. Anything you want to build is there. And this is what is afforded all of us. The guys give us the world's largest, greatest hardware/lumberyard. And we are afforded the right and the privilege to build what we want. Now, if someone wants to take advantage of the facilities and all the tools and materials and build a 4-story house with a basement and everything is just perfect, and someone else just spends 15 minutes and takes a couple pieces of plywood and some nails and screws and builds the ugliest, most simplest of dog houses. Both, in the eyes of Christ, have done well.
Sure.
The journey of enlightenment, to be closer to Christ, is not a competitive deal. The only person who really judges it is supposed to be yourself. And the only judgment you're supposed to make is, are your desires, is your hunger and thirst for a relationship with Christ, are you serving that need? Are you quenching that thirst for enlightenment? And if the answer is no, or maybe, or I wish it was better, well, then do something about it.
Right, right.
And a lot of times it has nothing to do with books or meetings or even internet radio shows or TV shows. It's just a matter of understanding that there's a squeak and a rattle, that things aren't just quite right. We're all born with a divine spark. Jesus' blood paid for everything. All of our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. So that means that no matter how large we think something is, it isn't.
Yeah.
No matter how complicated or out of the realm of possibilities of our grasp it is, well, that's just not accurate either. In other words, we already have it. And so tonight's broadcast is not to complicate your life, but to simplify your journey to Christ.
Sure. Really good.
To look at your life and say, junk, junk, crap, crap, waste of time, waste of time, waste of life, waste of life. Oh, well, wait a minute. Now I need to enhance that. And the only way you do that is to be completely honest with yourself. Don't worry about being honest with me or Jim or this radio show. Don't concern yourself with being honest with a loved one. But worry and be concerned about being honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what counts, because it's your choice. It's your relationship. You can't drag somebody to God. You can't sell Jesus to somebody. You can't keep somebody from hell just by beating the snot out of them with a Bible and forcing them to go somewhere to worship, or tying them to a chair, making them listen to this show. It doesn't work that way. It's about freedom of choice, to choose.
Yeah.
So if you've been given the world's greatest hardware store and lumber yard, and you choose to build a birdhouse or a doghouse, that's great. The guys love what you've done. You've taken advantage and you've satisfied your choice and your thirst.
Yeah.
If you decide to build a skyscraper and there's no material left in the store, you've used it all and worn all the tools out. Well, that's great, but you don't get anything extra over the person with a doghouse.
That's right. Right.
And the person with a doghouse isn't criticized because they left so much material and tools unused. It doesn't work like that. So if it doesn't work like that, then that means who's responsible for what? We are. We are responsible to ourselves.
That's good. Yeah, well, that's that's something that I want to continue to discuss on the show tonight. And I'm going to probably use some scripture right now to just bring in some of the ideas of how Jesus talked. And let me just say this. When you look at the way that Jesus conducted his life and how he talked about things, you know, when it came to the normal individual that just needed to have some direction, Jesus was very, very kind in his direction and spoke great truth, didn't mix words, got right to the point, but very kind in his delivery. His delivery seemed to change, though, when it actually took on the shape of him talking with those who were religious. Those who were in society took on the name, the position, the title of being an individual for others to look up to that would represent God, represent how to find God, represent what God was like. Jesus was very hard on these individuals. I mean, let's just say it this way. He put the crosshairs right between their eyes and he pulled the trigger. Jesus was very hard or harsh with these individuals because these people, being that it was religion that they had marked their territory with, had great influence in the hearts and lives of the people. So as I read some of this, I want you to, of course, we're going to discuss some of it, but as I read it, I want you to just pay careful attention. Is it possible that things have so been distorted throughout the years that the Pharisee back in that day is actually possibly the normal churchgoer in our day? Well, let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 23 in the Message Bible, verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus turned to address his disciples, along with the crowd that had gathered with them. The religion scholars and Pharisees are competent teachers in God's law. You won't go wrong in following their teachings on Moses, but be careful about following them. They talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it into their hearts and live it out in their behavior. It's all spit and polish veneer. Instead of giving you God's law as food and drink by which you can banquet on God," in other words, do you see what he said there? Jesus is saying what you receive as information is supposed to allow you to experience God. "They package it in bundles of rules, loading you down like pack animals. They seem to take pleasure in watching you stagger under these loads and wouldn't think of lifting a finger to help. Their lives are perpetual fashion shows, embroidered prayer shawls one day and flowery prayers the next. They love to sit at the head table at church dinners, basking in the most prominent positions, preening in the radiance of public flattery, receiving honorary degrees, and getting called doctor and reverend. Don't let people do that to you, put you on a pedestal like that. You have one single teacher and you are all classmates. Of course, that teacher is God." All right, so here's the first in some of the thoughts and that Jesus had for the mentality, the description of some of the religious people in his day. I wonder if that fits some of the religious people in our day. Interesting, huh?
It is. All right, folks. We've been talking now for about 22 to 25 minutes, and so let's share with us anonymously, with all discretion. No names will be mentioned. And the way you send an email to the show is the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence, all one word, no spaces, no capital letters, just The Abiding Presence at the little at sign. gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text message to the show, the way you send a text message is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger, as the first word that you type, Ranger, and then you finish typing your message, and when you press the send button, there's no one, there's no area code, it's not even a phone number. It's just five numbers, 2930. So the first word that you type in a text message to the show has to be Ranger. And when you press the send button, it's just 99,000, 99000. And the way you contact the show is on the radio show website, theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. So there's no reason for you not to participate tonight. Also, we want to say hello to Stacy Skierski, who sent a really nice Christmas card.
Real nice.
And she sent a Christmas gift for Robin, and so we want to thank her for that. And speaking of Robin, the puppy, Robin's here in this in the barn. This is her first radio show, and the girl is sacked out sleeping. Puppies do that. Robin is officially 44 days old today. She was born on the 15th of December. We went and picked her up. I went and picked her up on Christmas Eve, the 24th, and it was an uneventful 12-hour truck ride. She loves the pickup truck. She sat beside me, slept beside me, and she picked me out. And so we got a nice little Christmas story for all of you who helped out with
So how did she pick
Robin.
You up?
Well, I told the guy I would be there at 12 noon, and I was there at 12:01. And he pulled up, we walked in his house, and there they were. He had a pretty good sized house, and half the kitchen was blocked off. The dining room table had been removed. There was newspapers on the floor, and that's where the six puppies were. Three boys, three girls. Everybody said hello to the puppies. I just kind of stood back, and I was a little sad. People couldn't understand why I was happy, and I just had thoughts of Ranger, because it hadn't been that long since I lost Ranger, and I thought, should I really be doing this? Should I be here? And when I stepped in, all the puppies came over and looked at me and sniffed me, and then they all went back to what they were doing except for this one puppy. This one puppy was about a foot away, and it just sat there looking at me and looking up at me. And I was looking at all the puppies, and I took a step, and I accidentally stepped on its foot, and it winced with pain. And I thought it would run away, but it just stood there and looked at me like it was okay, no big deal. Then I took my cowboy hat off, and when I went to put it on the floor, it scared all the puppies. The puppies were scared to death of my hat. Huh. They scrambled for the corners. They were just so afraid of this hat, except this one puppy walked over and sniffed the hat and just stood there next to the hat. I put my hat back on, and then I whinnied like a horse. Totally freaked out the puppies, freaked out Mom, freaked out the two adult dogs in the house. Everybody's going crazy over my horse whinny. And this one puppy is just looking at me like, so what? I could care less.
Right.
Well, then I start to walk around the area, and it just keeps following me. If I take a step, it takes a step. And finally, it came over and sat down between my legs, looked up at me, and then I stepped outside the area, and it went crazy. It started whining, and it tried to climb the wall like it wanted to get out to me. I stepped back in, and it completely calmed down, and it just sat next to me.
That's pretty fun.
And at the same time, everybody in the room, except for me, I was still quiet. Everybody in the room at the same time said, this was meant to be. That puppy chose you. They all said it, and they started laughing because they all had the same thought. So Robin picked me. I didn't pick her. I picked her up. She licked my face. She was very pleased to go outside. She didn't act funny being away from her mom or her litter mates. It was a long drive, 6 hours for a 39-day-old puppy. There was bumps and turns and sharp braking, and she was fine. Didn't have any trouble. I'd let her out of the truck, and she'd go to the bathroom and want right back in the truck. She's already, even though she's only been with me for, well, let's see, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. She's only been with me for 5 days. You've seen her. She knows what the word no means.
Right.
She knows her name. We go outside, and she doesn't run away, does she?
No.
She stays pretty close to me.
Yep.
Always knows where I am. And one thing that Robin and I are both really similar in is that myself and Robin, we're both about 50% house broke right now. And so
there you go.
And so there's your Robin report, and thanks to everybody for the support. If you want to see some pictures of Robin, they're all over my Facebook page, BJ Rickard Facebook page. Now, I know a lot of people don't have a Facebook page, but I don't really know how else to post pictures of Robin.
Right.
But they're all over my Facebook page, and so you're invited to go check it out. So we're waiting for some. We have no emails. We have no text messages.
Yeah, tonight, folks, definitely send in some emails if you got thoughts, if you have
They're
questions.
They're gone. We chased them all away. Nobody likes the topic. Nobody's listening. It's just I know the me, topics. You, and Robin.
The topic, I think, personally, this is just me, though. I think this topic is great. And I've recommended this to people for a few years now to go into the Message Bible. And if you do have a Bible program, it's real easy to do it that way, where you can just go in and put in a search word for Pharisee. And then when you see those passages pulled up, just cut and paste them or copy them somehow to some type of a word program, a document, and then just read through them. And it's pretty phenomenal when you begin to see the essence of what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, because I'll have to admit that, boy, I fit the bill way too much myself. And I think we all have elements of that religion in us where it's kind of spins in circles but doesn't really get to the heart or to the point. In fact, that stuff that I just got through reading, those passages, the point of it all was to say, man, they might be really good teachers. These Pharisees might really be able to teach you some information about historical thoughts and figures and facts. But when it comes to living the life, Jesus said, man, don't go around them. They can't live it. They say it, but they don't live it. Really good thought.
It is. Where are you? It's just Jim, myself, and my puppy, Robin. Well, it's our puppy. It's the show's puppy, Robin. We're in the barn searching for an email or a text message just to let us know that you can hear us. And we're not worried or we're not upset about it. We just want to know that you're there. Because it gets kind of quiet in the barn when it's just Jim and Robin and me. Okay, was that good?
Yeah. I thought you were going to... I was waiting for the girl that cried.
Oh, the girl that cried?
Yeah, I thought she was next. See, it'd be real easy to feel that way without any text messages.
Well, and some people, they're just angry.
See? Those are familiar sounds for the Christmas season while you're out shopping.
Oh, man. Whoa, that's getting out of hand now.
Getting a little wound up right there.
Yeah, the neighbors are getting out of control.
A little bit wound up.
Well, you know what they say, good fences make good neighbors.
Hey, I want to share something that's just kind of recent. Very recent, actually. And we've definitely talked about these kind of things, but it goes hand in hand with what we're talking about tonight, just clarifying who we really are, being very honest with ourselves to say, boy, does that really... When Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, is he really talking to me? But one of the things that I find is very interesting, I've mentioned this over the last 3 years or so, I'm sure I've mentioned it a couple times, but on a very regular basis, when I'm ministering, especially if I have more than just a couple of messages, if I've got 3-4 nights to minister, then you know you have a little bit of time to really kind of work in some really good thought and help the people. But I'll ask folks personally, I'll say, how many of you here in your upbringing in what you consider to be church, how many of you feel like that it was welcomed for you to have questions or thoughts concerning whether or not what you were doing, what you were being told, was working or not? How many of you feel that way? Well, I've never had anybody raise their hand yet in the last 3 years. And I didn't mean that I have, you know, probably 100 churches that I've done that with, but I bet you I've done 30 or 40 churches like that where I've asked questions like that. I've never had any one person raise their hand saying it was to us understood that we could ask questions. If we had thoughts about why things weren't working, we could address that. I've never had anybody do that. And just recently, it's very interesting, even talking to ministers and those that are, let's just say, maybe over ministers, ministerial associations, and people that keep track of the ministers, their whereabouts, the problems, rejoice with the great things that happen, but so to speak, keep a running tab on everybody. Even there, you'll find, if you actually ask the right kind of question, to them it's the wrong kind of question. If you question whether something's working or not, that's a question they're not necessarily, well, to be honest, they don't want to have that question. So when I bring up these particular thoughts to you folks, I'm asking you, is it possible that we use the word skill set, that in a sense we all don't have too much of a skill set when it comes in religious matters to having the freedom, the liberty, the thought process of saying, why isn't this working? What's going on here? I think I need to investigate this. What's the possibility for most people? That's the furthest thing from their mind. And yet, that's the very thing that'll help you to get to your answers.
We got an email from Stacy Skierski. It says, I hear you. That's why I said her name, because it says I hear you. And plus, she sent a Christmas card. And also, I'm really sorry. I don't remember. Okay, we got some blankets. We got toys. We got tennis balls. We got a lot of neat things for Robin, and somebody sent a piece of colored rope,
right,
about 8 to 10 inches long with a couple of knots in it, and it had a small little tennis ball on the rope.
I remember seeing that.
Okay, that's Robin's favorite toy.
You know who I think sent that?
Who?
Deco.
You know what? Maybe so. Maybe that's from Deco. Also, a lady in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, by the name of Beverly.
Right.
She sent a little, what you would call like a puppy pad, a tiny little puppy blanket.
Yeah.
Like 3x3.
I remember that, yep.
Look where it is. That's Ranger's.
Oh,
Ranger,
nice.
When I leave Ranger in the house,
right,
in the kitchen, Ranger uses that blanket. Ranger laid on that blanket all the way back from Missouri.
Robin.
And Robin. Yeah, I know. I keep mixing up their names. It freaks me out. Robin's blanket. Also, the blanket that we got from the Outlaw Bikers, Grandma and Grandpa.
Right.
Okay, their blanket that they sent is Robin's favorite blanket in the dog bed. One of the girls that works at the ranch, I don't know how much it costs, but you've heard of memory foam mattresses?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, she bought a memory foam dog bed.
Okay.
I don't know what it costs. It's huge. It's rated for a 120-pound dog.
Oh,
so
my.
When Ranger lays in the bed, she looks like a brown spot.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, there's this fancy, huge memory foam dog bed.
Right.
By next to my recliner in the living room, and the blanket that Grandma and Grandpa Outlaw Bikers from Morgan Hill,
right,
that's the covering for it. Ranger likes
oh,
it.
Oh, good. Robin.
So every gift is being used and appreciated by Robin.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's using them all, and nothing's going to waste, and so that's kind
of Robin.
You
know, if I put my money on one, I would have put my money on that one you said, with the rope and the ball on the end of it.
I wasn't sure about that.
Really? I would have thought that would have been great, a great toy.
And I took it with me to pick her up, and so she was playing with it on the truck seat on the way home when I first got her. And she's got a leash. No, not a leash. She's got a pink collar.
Right.
She's got 4 dog tags, so she jingles when she walks, like Ranger did and Rose did, my first 2 dogs.
Right.
And doesn't she? Oh, you mentioned the power, her strength.
Yeah, her forearms are stronger than my 2 dogs put together.
Her little legs. And doesn't she have the hugest feet?
Yeah.
I mean, the girl's got big feet.
Yep.
I mean, normally when you say a woman has big feet, they get really upset.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No. Yeah. When you say, oh, that lady, yeah, that girl's got huge feet, you know. Someone wants to slap you in the face, but Robin's feet are massive for a dog that's that age. All right, folks, send us some emails, send us some text messages. Let us know how the tonight's show is affecting you, what you're thinking about yourself, doing that self-evaluation as to exactly where you are and with things.
Hey, there's something I'm going to read here, and I want you to discuss this with me, because this is an interesting thought about the Pharisee type of mind, the religious type of mind. It says this. Jesus calls them frauds. He says, "You're hopeless, you religion scholars and Pharisees, you frauds. You go halfway around the world to make a convert, but once you get him, you turn him into a replica of yourself, double damned." Now, when, and I read exactly what it said there in the Message Bible. The whole part of a replica of yourself. See, that's something, to be honest, you know, no, don't get me wrong. It's not like I haven't had good understanding of things before I met you. It's just the clarity of things is really, really enhanced. Do you remember that was one of the things very early on I had to lock into? The idea that don't try to make somebody's relationship yours. Let their own relationship be their own journey, their own set of choices. Certainly, if you're discussing it, you can always discuss and give guidance, but you're not trying to turn somebody into yourself. Look at what this says here. Jesus said religion likes to turn everybody into the same cookie cutter.
Well, and that goes against the endless, boundless creativity of Christ. No two snowflakes are identical. Every snowflake is its own design. Every raindrop has its own volume of water, its own shape. Every tear that runs down somebody's face has its own shape, own volume of moisture. Everybody's fingerprints are their own, identical. Your own family, as close of a family as you have with your daughters, there's some things that just are really individual about who likes what, who doesn't like this, who doesn't, you know, this is something that,
We were just talking about our oldest daughter is not in the same surrounding that the other two are in.
Right.
And so she's off on her own in Georgia. And enjoying a wonderful art schooling there in Georgia. And there's just different mentalities, just different thought processes that she's surrounded by. And you could try to clone her, put pressure on her to be exactly who you are, but at the same time, that takes away from her exploring what it's like to make choices and find God herself.
I don't know if it's how accurate or true it is, but I've read it and heard it many times in my life that by the time a human being is 5 to 6 years of age, the majority of their personality is formed.
Right.
The type of person and who they are is already, you know, designed and formulated.
Sure.
I don't know how accurate that is, but it's just one of those things that seems to be a constant that never seems to go away. That kind of like margarine is okay to substitute for butter, which is false. Butter's butter, folks. Eat real butter, real food. It's kind of an interesting thing about food and tonight's topic that just came into my mind. You know, real milk from a cow, real butter, unprocessed grains and vegetables. The more man touches something, the more that human beings manipulate and change and alter things, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
The worse it gets. I mean, the one of the best things you can do is to eat whole, natural foods that aren't processed. Gee, imagine that God invented us, provided food for us that's a perfect match. Go figure, but still, you'd rather go to a fast food restaurant and get some kind of a hamburger that has no beef in it at all.
We were just talking about how when a establishment makes so much to do of how this is 100% Angus beef, it's because what?
All the other burgers have no beef in them.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so scary.
It really
if
is.
People were clued into what they're being told right then, because the mindset of people said, oh, my goodness, that's awesome. That's a great-looking hamburger. But they should be thinking, what? Everything else is who knows what.
Yeah, there are several well-known fast food restaurants that I've never eaten their food. It's not because I think it doesn't taste good.
Right.
Or that something's wrong with it. It's just that I just don't like that kind of food.
You know, it's like traveling on the road to hotels, you know, and you see one of the motels that advertises free HBO.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, hello. I mean, every hotel you go to has HBO. I mean, the fact that you're saying it's free here means that's all you got.
Well, the other thing, too, is that it's technically not free. They've just raised the price of the rooms to...
Right, accommodate it.
To accommodate it, to add it in.
That's so terrible.
It's like auto... Okay, you know how many Ford trucks I've had.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had like 24 Ford trucks, and I've had about 17 made, which means I went in a dealership, sat down with a huge catalog, and went item for item and actually built the truck and then waited 2 months for it to be built.
Huh.
I've done that 17 times.
Wow.
And it cracks me up when you see these TV commercials on TV where they talk about how come on in and you'll get $6,000 cash back if you buy this vehicle.
Right.
Well, what they've done is they've added $6,000 to the price of it so that they're not losing anything. I mean, it just, you know, it cracks me up the way that we fool ourselves. Now, talking about food, talking about pickup trucks, what does this have to do with the topic tonight? It has to do with everything.
Sure it does.
No one is ever going to lie to you, trick you, deceive you in a greater, more personal way than you will ever lie to yourself. The lies we tell ourselves to wait to get through the day, to be able to look into the mirror,
right,
unfortunately become habit forming, which means that we start to convince ourselves that we're Christians, that we're saved, that we have a relationship with God, that we have seen grace, that when we pray, our prayers are being answered. And in other words, they're not, and we're kidding ourselves. And unfortunately, who cares?
Right.
I mean this with all sincerity. Whether you go to heaven or hell is none of my business. I am too focused on whether I personally go to heaven or hell. And guess what? Scripture says, mind your own business. Worry about yourself.
Right. You know, this topic right now, what we just got through saying, even about the cars and about the food. Let me read over here in the 23rd verse of Matthew 23 in the Message Bible. It says, you're hopeless, you religion scholars and Pharisees. Jesus is on a roll right here. He says, you keep meticulous account books, tithing on every nickel and dime you get, but on the meat of God's law, things like fairness and compassion and commitment, the absolute basics. You carelessly take it or leave it. Careful bookkeeping is commendable, but the basics are required. Do you have any idea how silly you look writing a life story that's wrong from start to finish, nitpicking over commas and semicolons? You see, it'd be real easy to be able to identify your quote-unquote Christianity by the different things you do to serve in your local place of worship. Well, I'm on the worship team. I get there early. Why do you have to go so early? Well, I'm one of the parking lot attendants, or I do the bookkeeping at my church. I do this and I do that. And you begin to identify yourself with the busyness of, quote-unquote, the ministry. And yet the basics have to do with the heart, the motivation, whether or not there's a connection between you and God, and your prayers are being answered. That's where the real heart and soul of Christianity is. It's in the fruit that comes from a relationship, not the many things we do to serve an establishment. And yet we thank, you know, I'm always thankful for people behind the scenes and folks that do so many wonderful things to make meetings take place. I'm not diminishing that, but I'm saying listen to what we're talking about here with the food, what we're talking about with the vehicles BJ was just talking about, and how Jesus right here is drawing attention to the real basics when the basics get overlooked by the things that are seen from other people. In fact, BJ, when I was in Idaho, of course, you know my in-laws are dairy farmers. My father-in-law definitely schooled us all on milk and on the different percentages of milk and half and half and whole milk and milk that hasn't been processed, milk that's whether it's been separated or hasn't been separated. And that was one of the things that Aaron and I, we didn't really know. You know, we thought if it hasn't been processed and it's from like its own dairy,
right,
that it hasn't been separated. And he was saying, well, no, the cream has to go through a process. It's not processed where there's heat added to it to kill, quote unquote, the bacteria.
Right.
He said, but that part's organic. He said, but every bit of the milk process of separating 2% whole milk,
right,
half and half, are all percentages of how much cream is added to the milk that hasn't been touched.
Yeah. See, the milk I buy, they don't take anything out.
Right.
They don't sell cream. The cream floats to the top.
Right. Well, that's how, in fact, the milk that's in a big pitcher in their refrigerator is one that's just been dunked in the big tank.
Yeah.
And when you get it, you have to shake it because the cream's always at the top.
Yeah.
Pretty good, though.
Yeah. We got our first text message, our only text message. It says, seeing much change in my life except in healing of old conditions. I want to get past that. Okay. Then we got an email that, finally some emails. We got one that came in 11 minutes ago. I got to be careful. I don't want to mention anybody's names. Remember, it says, hi, Jim, BJ, and a big welcome to Robin. Well, thank you for that. I like tonight's topic. It really makes me think deeply about myself. I can honestly say that I fall short of my goal of acknowledging grace all through the day, every day. But I truly am seeing answers to prayers and a better and deeper relationship every day. Even my body is experiencing healing. See, this is a very candid email.
Right.
I mean, someone really, see, that's what we're talking about here.
I like this. It's good.
The openness. We got another one here. Well, this one's hard to not to say. It says, hello from Pasco. Hey, I don't have a Facebook page. Will be nice if you make the video and post on your YouTube page. Thank you. I guess he's talking about Robin.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a nice
tip. Roman, isn't it?
Well, I'm not saying any names.
Oh, you're not saying names.
We got one here. It says, tonight's topic and Robin report. Hi, BJ, Jim, and little lady Robin, and all the listeners. BJ, thanks so much for the Robin report. Please continue with tonight's topic. It's really hitting close to home, and I appreciate hearing more. Whenever I ask questions of why it's not working, I'm told not to question God's ways and to wait for His timing, and that His ways aren't my ways, and who am I to question God? See, that's plan B.
Right.
That's to give organized religion or a passion.
A one-up.
It's to give them a position of leverage.
Right.
And it gives them a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yes, it does.
To not have prayers answered, to not have productivity. It's a con game. Then it says, I'm expected to pray and wait and then pray again and wait, but isn't God waiting for me? Question mark. Technically, the guys are waiting for you to acknowledge who you are,
mm-hmm,
as a spiritual Christian being.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, I've been waiting for a long time for my prayers to get answered, and I can't accept that God is wanting me to wait for His perfect timing. Please share your thoughts. Thanks so much for tonight's program. Jim?
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to share is part of the whole, and this goes to what we're sharing. I've got all these scriptures here that are actually revealing this, but part of the whole religious game, you could call it scheme, you could just call it the religious way, is to have a form of what is religious and godly on the outside, but to have no substance on the inside. So, you know, someone wrote in earlier with the text, it kind of goes hand in hand, you know, with I'm experiencing some things with God, but I'm still struggling with old conditions. Well, see, we haven't been brought up with the idea of God being tangible. That's a new concept for most people. And for people that are religious, they say, oh, yeah, well, I've known God's tangibility. Well, then show me the results of his tangibility. You see, God is a real person and is very tangible. So the idea that we could experience him in one area means we can experience him in every area. So God is waiting on us to acknowledge him. And then to do what? To experience the salvation that Jesus has provided. And salvation isn't a word and a concept. It's the experience of health and wholeness. It's the experience of deliverance. It's the experience of joy and peace in God. It's the experience of walking around with him and experiencing him on a regular basis. God is definitely waiting for us to do that. We have not been brought up in that kind of atmosphere, so we have to change the way we see it.
There comes a time in everybody's life when they realize that they did everything they could. They gave 110% to something, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And it still failed. Because in their lives, they always held just a little back out of fear or greed or apprehension or inexperience, whatever the reason was. But most people in their lives, they never really truly go all out. Pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
110% effort. We try to coast and to get by. It's just the nature of the beast. It's in all of us. But there comes a time when we really want something, need something, or it's important enough to us,
yeah,
that we pull all the stops out and we basically, quote unquote, we go for broke. And we expect that since we're putting out more effort, that we're maximizing ourselves on every single level of our entire being, that we will succeed.
Uh-huh.
Because we have skated before and succeeded with much less intensity and effort.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, you fall short. And it is a devastating blow.
Yeah.
Because you think, I really wanted this, I really needed it, I don't understand. I gave everything I had and have. And I have never done that before, and I've received great results. What's going on? And some people, it haunts them, and they can't get past it. It's always there, kind of like that scar on your arm or your leg that feels 100%, and all of a sudden you touch that area just right and it kind of feels funny, like it hurts. It's like a wound that never heals. This happens on a spiritual level. Organized religion and praying without results will make you feel this way.
Yeah.
It will take the wind out of your sails, pull the rug out from under your feet. It will pull the wool over your eyes. Whatever cute little saying you want to do, give it. It will make it so. And it's up to you to acknowledge that in you.
Sure.
To take stock. Because if it's in you and you acknowledge it, then you can deal with it. And once you deal with it, it's gone. And once you deal with something like that, there isn't any other worldly, fleshly distraction that can possibly slow or hinder your relationship with Christ. You already have the skills, the knowledge, and the tools to have whatever kind of relationship you want. A casual relationship. Okay, I know there's a God. I love God.
Right.
I want to go to heaven. That's good enough to get you there. Or you could have an amazing relationship and talk with the guys 24/7 and see wondrous things occur. You can have that. Either or something in between of your own creation is afforded to you.
Right.
But it won't happen as long as you do not open up to yourself. This is how you humble yourself. Hmm. This is part of repenting.
Yeah.
To see your inefficiency, your failures. How can you succeed? How can you change direction if you're not willing to say, I'm going the wrong direction, I'm screwing up, I am failing miserably?
Right.
It won't work. No matter how much you work out, how good of food you eat, no matter how much money you throw, no matter how many times you give to the poor, that's not going to cut the mustard, folks. It's not going to get you where you want to go.
Right. You know, the 25th verse of Matthew 23 kind of speaks to what was just said. It says, you're hopeless, you religion scholars and Pharisees, frauds. Jesus, in this passage, he uses that particular phrase each time he addresses something new. He goes on to say, you burnish the surface of your cups and bowls so they sparkle in the sun, while the insides are maggoty with your greed and gluttony. Stupid Pharisees, scour the insides, and then the gleaming surface will mean something. Well, he's talking about the inability of the Pharisee to humble themselves and really look within, not how you appear to someone on the outside. And is it possible that most people have, and I'll say I have it at, you know, in my history of living, I've definitely experienced this as well. And that is the cover-up that you use to appear as though you have everything under control. And yet deep down inside, you know that there's things that aren't, things that aren't right, things that need addressing, things that need some alteration on the inside. But you put on a front on the outside to appear as though everything is perfect. These are Pharisees. This is what it means to be a Pharisee. Versus living from the inside out, that what you are on the inside, your ability to locate yourself and to understand who God is in you, is the ability to make choices and decisions and allow God to live his life through you and for you to experience the joy of having God with you, for you, and working on your behalf. Boy, this is the type of life that we're all doing what? We're all beginning to make choices that alter the way that we've been going so we can experience this. This is what made Jesus so infectious. He lived out of his heart. He was true to himself. There were no hidden bones or skeletons in the closet. There was nothing swept under the rug. Jesus was who he was all the time. And this is a part of our experience, the reason why we're doing this show. Any more emails?
We have one that came in 5 minutes ago. My chair is sinking again.
I see that. It's all right.
Yeah, because you're not sitting in a broken chair.
No. Nope.
It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and our newest addition, Robin. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Have not been able to listen live in a while, but have been listening to the streams. This is a great topic. I believe the topic tonight has to be one of the biggest challenges for most of us. This is why it is hard to experience grace. Thanks for helping us to see this. Great show. Keep it coming. You can mention my name. Business card Bob.
Oh, good.
In New Jersey. So, hello to Business Card Bob. I mentioned him on a show a couple weeks ago. Folks, send us some emails. Send us some text messages. Let us know what you think of tonight's broadcast. To send an email, it's just the name of the show. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. To send a text message, the first word you type is the word Ranger, R-A-N-G-R, Ranger. And then when you press the send button, it's just five numbers, 99000. Let us know what you think. And you can ask a question that has nothing to do with the topic or subject. You can just say hello if you want. You can say hello to another listener. Don't think that we're restricting your creativity in communicating on the show. I hope you don't think that. I encourage you to send anything and everything that you like. We're only here once a week doing the show live, so please take advantage of it. Yeah. There's a lot of people that listen to the stream, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week stream, that would love to be able to send an email or a text when the show is live.
That's right.
So take advantage of that. Email and text for those people. Flood us with them. We'd like to hear from you on any matter. All right. We've been talking now for about an hour and 5 minutes on this topic tonight. Find us some more scripture that talks about this. But first, we just got an email. It says, "Good night, gentlemen. Hey, Robin. Please explain, if the Almighty God lives within, then why are Christians still sick, depressed, fearful, etc.?" Jim?
Well, again, think about this. If he does come to live on the inside of us, if, and I'm going to say it like this, it shouldn't be this way. If you came to Christ in an environment of people experiencing God and testifying to how real God is in your life, you would automatically, just by your surroundings, have an open heart and an open mind for the exact same type of experience. Certainly it would be your own personal experience, but your heart would be open. Now change that around to what most people, 99% of the people that come to Christ in the midst of an experience where the surrounding people don't have any testimonies to declare that Jesus is Lord. Just this past weekend, I was ministering at my brother-in-law's church there in Boise, Idaho. And what was so fun is every single service, he has multiple people. There were at least 10, 15 people Sunday morning that came to Christ, that came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, the cool part was they saw people getting healed right in front of them. I had a chance to minister. And, of course, Mark will have all kinds of results himself as well. And they came. They saw Jesus touching people, healing people. They heard a message about how real he is and how real he can be. And then they came to meet him. Folks, that's very rare. Most of the places where people meet God, they don't have any surrounding where other people have experiences and testimonies. So think of it. What would be the chances that you would have in that kind of environment to actually not only experience God, but to regularly experience him and know that he's there? It's a setup for failure.
It is. It's really warm in here.
It is warm in here.
Why don't you kick that door open?
Okay, thanks.
That we're caught up on emails and texts, and we like what we've been getting, so please send us more. How are you doing tonight? How's it going for you listening to myself and Jim as we express ourselves and try to convey some bullet points on how to evaluate yourself? How is it going? What kind of thoughts are you having? Is it making you smile? Is it making you cry? Is it confusing you? Are you seeing that there's moments in your life that for no other way to describe it are just wastes of space, waste of time, that you concern yourself with things that are gonna fail or succeed without you? One of the biggest things that we suffer from, we being human beings, is that we think that we matter more than what we really do. We think that we have greater effect and more influence in the reality that we live in than what we actually do.
In other words, we make ourselves too important.
Well, we do. We care more about what happens than most people care.
Mm-hmm.
A great lesson in this is to tomorrow. I mean, school's out, so there's probably no school. Unless you're, we haven't heard from the Weavers in a while.
No,
unless you're a Weaver kid
who,
well, of course, their whole life is school. They're homeschooled. They live in a school. Their whole world is nothing but education. Poor little souls that they are. When you're driving around tomorrow or this week, think about how much you really don't care about the person in the car next to you. You don't know what they look like. You don't care if they're busy or where they're going or if they're hungry or thirsty. It's just a car that passed by. You just don't even realize it. Well, that's the way it is for them. In other words, we give ourselves so much importance that it puts pressure on us. That we put ourselves in a position where it's like we fill up a backpack with so many rocks, it's impossible for us to swing it on our shoulders, let alone start walking and hiking around with it. We intentionally, and sometimes innocently and subconsciously, sometimes burden ourselves with an overdose of reality that we never can get past.
Sure, sure.
In other words, I want you to acknowledge those squeaks and rattles, but don't punish yourself. Don't criticize yourself for having them. Instead, acknowledge them, accept them, deal with them, and move on.
Right.
We got one text that says, "Hi, Jim and BJ, this is a test text."
Good, good. Well, now you can send the real one.
And then we got another one that says, "Hello, Robin, BJ, and Jim. Please shout out to Mary and Bob Pales in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. The Matsons, Tampa, Florida."
Nice.
Yeah, we've got a lot of positive stuff from the Matsons on my Facebook page. They sent a lot of nice stuff for Robin.
Very nice people.
Okay, then we got a text that just showed up. It says, "Can you show us with examples how to get past these religious issues?" And then it says, "Thanks, Jim."
Well, I'm staring at a verse of scripture I was going to use, and it really fits right here. You know, the Pharisees. It's really interesting. You can do a little math. I like saying it that way. A little bit of arithmetic here when you look at Jesus dealing with the Pharisees. When Jesus would do something and then say something that related himself to the Father, the Pharisees would go off. They'd pick up stones to stone him, or they'd just literally get in his face and go off on him saying things like, "Who do you think you are making yourself to be God? You know, you talk like he's your father." Well, folks, right away, right there, you can tell the enemy, negative energy, Satan. He doesn't want you to know how real your father is. He doesn't want you to relate your life to the Father. He wants you to relate your life to somebody else. But notice what Jesus does in answering the question, how do we get past some of these religious things? The Pharisees question him on this, and Jesus comes right back in John 5:19, and he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." And on you go, and you could go ahead and present throughout the whole passage there in John 5, multiple witnesses to what I'm talking about. But notice here, you get past these things by how well you can relate your life to and keep your focus on the Father. In other words, the goal is to experience God, to live out of your spirit, and to experience God from the inside out. That means every day you judge everything based on your relationship with God, not on your flesh and how it looks in the world, not on how you've been living and the bad choices you've made, but you see yourself as somebody in relationship to Christ. That's what the In Him scriptures are all about. In other words, your relationship to God is your ticket out of experiencing how your flesh communicates with the world. Hopefully that helps.
Okay. We got a text that says, many churches teach that one needs to fast and pray to get God to move in his/her life. Isn't that just like the Pharisees?
Well, the Pharisees were always fasting and always praying, and they were doing it to show everybody how religious they were. And Jesus always came right back and again hit them right between the eyes with, "You're nothing but frauds." And that's what he meant when he said, "You make the outside of the cup look so good, but the inside is ridiculously maggoty, or it's dirty." Well, the whole idea of fasting and praying, notice this. Spending time fasting and praying doesn't change God. It changes you. It helps to realign your thoughts and your reality with His. And when you see things like God sees things, you're going to walk in those things. If you see things like the world, that's what you're going to live in and walk in. So fasting and praying is something that changes your perspective. God's always, and that's what Jesus was saying there, "My Father's always working. My Father's always doing." And the Pharisees got mad at him for saying it. No, God's always at work. Grace is everywhere, wanting to help you 24/7.
Isn't that just like the Pharisees? The common denominator in tonight's topic with your life is your willingness and energy level to be honest with yourself. Keep it to yourself. Keep it a secret. It really isn't going to help or hurt another person in your family unit to tell them what you were thinking, why you were upset, why you were crying or laughing, or why your mood is the way it is. It's inconsequential to anybody else. It's really up to you and how it affects you. In the days and the weeks to come, you're going to think about this show. Perhaps when you have a free moment, you'll listen to it on the archives, or maybe try to find it on the internet and download it so you can see and hear this topic. Whatever the case may be, the phrase to remember is, "My choice, my direction." What you choose and what you do with that choice is never more paramount than the subject matter we're talking about.
Right, right.
How you evaluate yourself.
Yeah.
There's got to be more scripture. You said you had a lot of scripture. Give us more scripture.
Matthew 3 and 7 to 12. Again, this is Jesus making this is John the Baptist making comparisons about the Pharisees. And he said here, when John realized that a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do. Now, stop right there, folks. Think about that. What's popular today? Well, what's popular today for religious people is to make people feel really good when they go to church. Don't make them feel at all uneasy about themselves, because maybe they won't come back and we won't get tithes and offerings. No, you got to make people feel comfortable. In fact, when we have worship, we want to have the lights down low and have some fake smoke and have all kinds of lights and lasers, because it's cool. We'll attract people. See, all the different things that we do to help attract people, when the real attraction are the testimonies of an individual's life experiencing God. So notice John the Baptist is talking and he's addressing this. What do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it's going into the fire. So notice how John, I mean, he didn't mix any words, did he? How John just split hairs and went right to the heart of the matter. You know, it's not about a popularity contest. It's not about feeling like you've been appreciated at a particular place that you go to. I realize that so many people are hurting and feel very inferior. Their self-confidence has been destroyed. Well, the greatest place for you to experience self-confidence is finding God yourself, having that inner peace of knowing who you are and knowing who He is. And John addresses this right here to show us that it's not a popularity contest. And you can't just throw around terms and names. Well, I know so-and-so, and I go to such and such a place. Well, you may go to such and such a place. I mean, think of it, folks. When I travel with Brother Hagin, here he is, an individual that would stand up and tell you stories of one particular area. And like he said, I could tell you stories until the sun came up in the morning and still not exhaust all of them in just this one area. Well, he was a man that I liken unto the ministry of Jesus. He had testimonies, tons of them. Well, so what? Am I going to say I travel with Brother Hagin? I know Brother Hagin. Is that going to put stars on my cap? Well, no, that doesn't do anything for me experiencing God on my own. It still has to do with what I do from the inside out.
We got an email that came in 18 minutes ago. It says, out here listening to you guys with my daughter, Brittany. I think you ran my roommates off to their rooms, BJ. Laugh out loud. I have the show cranked full blast. Glad little Robin is enjoying her furniture throw blankie. Oh, this is must be the lady in Oklahoma.
Right.
The one she's laying on right now. Hope all will have a blessed new year and we find ourselves continually growing closer to the guys.
That's right.
Thank you, Jim and BJ, for sharing your valuable knowledge. We've scared her roommates.
Uh-oh.
Have we scared you? Here, Jesus. Here, Jesus. Come here, boy. Here, Jesus. Oh, good boy, Jesus. Hello, everybody. Scared in the house, are you? We're talking about God. Nothing to be afraid of here.
Well,
it's just
scared,
us.
If they weren't scared, now they are.
I'm sending you a secret message from the Lord.
You can't leave it alone, can you?
No, I can't. No. No. It's secret. It's only for you. I know you're in your bedrooms. You can't hide from us. We've got the Lord with us.
Folks, I'm quiet over here, just so you know. That's the cowboy. All him.
Oh, come on. Scared in their rooms. Chased them away. You really think
Hi,
I
Robin.
Couldn't just...
Hi, Rob.
I woke Robin up with the whistle. Hey Robin, come here. Robin, come here. Let's get you on the radio. Oh, she just woke up. All right, now. Wait, hold on. I got to turn my mic up, Jim. I got to turn yours off.
Okay.
That's her sniffing the mic. Her dog tags. Oh, I don't know if she's going to say nothing.
Come on, Robin. Bark.
Come on. What do you say? Hold on. Maybe I can... Let me try something once here. Oh. Oh. What are you going to do? Oh. Come on. Robin, say something. Come on, girl. What? Oh. Oh, what do you say? Come on. Oh, she's just looking at me. She's still tired. Oh. That was a yawn. That was her. I don't know if that came through or not, but hold on.
Yeah, it came through.
Did it? That was a yawn and a moan and a groan.
Yeah, good. Good girl. Your first show and you showed up and showed off.
Way to go. What a good girl, Robin Bobbin.
We got a great future ahead for you, Robin.
Kisses from me. All right.
Well,
so
I'm enjoying the topic tonight, everyone. I hope you are.
I want, you know, that had to crack people up. I'm chasing them into their bedrooms.
Yeah, you just have to edit that particular part, folks, just in case. But really, about the topic tonight. I mean, I love doing this, and you know, I'm not a masochist by any means. You know, just love knocking myself down. But boy, I tell you what, I am a realist, and I like to paint. My daughter is an artist, and if I painted something for you and you couldn't tell what it looked like, that means I did a really bad job, because I was actually making it to be very real. I'm a realist. Well, I want to ask you, are you real with yourself? Because this is how, entering into 2016, you can begin to go very far and very fast with God. I mean, just the other day, I was thinking to myself on some things, and I thought, you know, there is a part of me that still clings to a little bit to the idea of believing for something and not the idea of actually experiencing the thing that I'm believing for. Folks, we've been indoctrinated into some things in religion that are terrible. The idea of just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to see what God has already done for us. I mean, how bad does it have to get? Any young person with a mother that really cares for them and that has a sense of quality of life and respect for herself, once she makes dinner for you, she's going to require you to eat it. Not 10 years later, not 2 months later, not even 2 days later. She wants you to eat it right now. In fact, she says things like, come and get it because it's hot. Well, folks, think about that. What's she instilling into your mind? When she makes it, she puts it on your plate, you get to taste it. You get the benefits of it. You get to eat it. Well, Lord have mercy. God is the one that invented this. Everything he's done through Jesus Christ was for us to experience, not put off. But this is something I'm having to learn myself. So what is it that you're learning? What is it that you see? And BJ, you need to get yourself a little napkin there and just wipe the blood off your nose.
She bit me in the nose.
Yeah.
She does that. Okay, it says, Jim, what exactly do you mean when you say live from the inside out?
Well, that means I'm more conscious of my connection with God out of my heart than giving my body so much place, so much of a voice. So instead of making decisions that are all, well, I can't do that, I'm tired, well, you know, I'm not feeling so well, well, I just don't know if it's going to work, it hadn't worked before, well, you know what they're saying now, they're saying things are getting really worse nowadays, well, you know, the flu bug's starting to hit everybody, well, don't expect that to work, that's not going to work, well, you know, it's never worked before, and on it goes, the drama of life that we buy into, that's living life from your flesh connection to the world. But when you start seeing things out of your heart, you're connected with God. I like this statement John Lake made years and years and years ago, 100 years ago when he was alive. He made this statement, anyone that's connected to God is an optimistic enthusiast. Now, I like that, just because when you're connected to God, all things are possible.
We got another text, and then we got an email. It says, how would you prioritize what to look for in a church, and what do you do if you can't find one that aligns with those priorities?
You first or me? I've been first all night.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going first again? Okay. Well, based on the things that we've been sharing on the show, I think you can pick out a few really choice thoughts. And one is, when you're listening to the man that's talking in the front, or a woman that's talking in the front, is there a sense of realness about them? Are there illustrations all about the past? Or are they about things that are the past meaning years ago? Or are they illustrations about things that are happening to them present tense? Do they share stories about their prayers being answered? Or is it always just stories from the Bible? Does it seem legit that people are experiencing God, not just hearing about God? Are there healings that take place right in the service? Are there people that are being saved? When you talk with the people in the church, are there individuals there that are that also have testimonies? I mean, when you think about it, if Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit, isn't that enough for us to begin to investigate a place where we go to know whether or not there's fruit that's abounding?
I think that, I don't know if it is a priority to find a place to worship. I really don't. I think the real priority is to understand your desire to have a connection with Christ. I think that's the only priority to have, and to tap into that desire and see what you already have right in front of you that is waiting to avail itself to you to acknowledge what you have. I think the closer you become to God and the more time you spend with grace, that, for lack of a better way to put it, like-minded people or an institution that will fit your spiritual needs will also be availed to you. You have to crawl before you walk. You have to start before you finish. And I think that sometimes people lay out too many plans that get in the way of just the fun and enjoyment of experiencing Christ.
Right.
I think to relax a little bit, to just enjoy it. We got an email that came in 6 minutes ago. It says, it says, appreciate the topic tonight very much. Hi, Lady Robin. It says, can you please explain why there are unanswered prayers, generally speaking? I was told recently that the promises of God aren't necessarily meant for me. Let's see, while I'm on earth, is it wrong that we expect healing and his provision if we are in a relationship with him? I need to admit that I question my own relationship with God because of my unanswered prayers. Thanks. Well, Scripture says, ask and you shall receive, that prayers are answered, which means that you might think you're praying. You might even believe in your heart that your prayer has not been answered. But if Scripture clearly says, ask and you shall receive, that all prayers are answered, then the only logical, rational way to look at it is, you weren't praying. It wasn't a prayer. And so since you weren't praying and it wasn't a prayer, there was nothing to answer. In other words, you're distracted. You're not as connected as you think you are. And remember that a prayer has nothing to do with language. The words that you use, where you are, the clothes that you wear, if you've just set down the Bible or you're in a particular building, that has nothing to do with answering a prayer. It has to do with your connection to grace and exactly what is your motivation for asking.
Good.
She bit me in the nose.
No, she did. She got you good with those little teeth.
Her teeth are razor, razor sharp.
Yeah.
You know what I need? A septic pencil. Do you know what a septic pencil is?
Yeah, when you cut yourself shaving.
I have one. Huh. but it's not in the radio station.
You know, for your question that came in, let me just share this. One of the things Jesus said, training his disciples on prayer, he said, pray that that the will of God that is in heaven would be on the earth. So it's God's intention that the way God sees things eternally is something that we should begin to experience right here on the earth. So the idea that someone's sharing with you it's not God's will for you to receive healing right now is the doubt and the unbelief and uncertainty that will keep your prayers from being answered. No, Jesus healed. If he healed one person on the earth, he was an expression of the Father's will to heal you. Besides that, when he went to the cross, he took your infirmity and bore your sickness. And with his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, you were healed. Well, if you were healed in the mind of God, then healing is available for you right now. And so for the listener that wrote that, why don't you just go ahead and receive that right now and find out that your pains, the affliction, whatever type of symptoms you've been having, it just dissipates and it just disappears, kind of like snow that in the midst of a hot sun on an afternoon just begins to melt and that's no longer there and it's gone. Why don't you just receive that tonight and just know that you're well and healed and then let us know how your body's doing because, thank God, you are healed. Anything else coming in?
We do. We got an email that came in 4 minutes ago. We appreciate these emails a lot. And not one person said anything bad about me joking about scaring those people into their bedrooms at that lady's house. Her roommates were chased away by the show.
Mm-hmm.
It says, hello, Jim, BJ, and Robin. We have been experiencing grace and answered prayers in areas of our lives except for our finances. We have tithed, given offerings until one day we asked ourselves, how is this working for us? That's a great question. What I'm asking is, how can grace not work in this area? How do you get it to work in this area? Good show tonight, and I look forward to hearing from God your responses. All right, first off, if the only reason you're tithing and giving someone religious connected money to get more money, well, why don't you just drive down the highway and throw dollar bills out the window on the interstate? You're missing the whole point of what a tithe is, what an offering is. What grace is really good at is what I like to call putting wind in your sails. I'll give you an example. One day last week, it was right before Christmas. It's a couple days before Christmas. Ranger's Cooking Wood, it's a business that we started here on the ranch to keep people employed during the winter season when there's not a lot going on. So I named it after Ranger. And we sell cooking wood for people that have smokers, barbecues, and a few restaurants use our wood to cook the food in the restaurant. So anyways, we run ads all over the place, and somebody called, and they wanted to come buy wood. And I took some of that money, and this guy was walking through the gas station, and he wanted to sell me a Christmas CD of music, of religious music. He said it's religious Christian. No, he said it's Christian religious music that my family recorded, and he wanted $5 for one of the CDs. And I looked at him and I said, I'm not a big fan of Christmas carols or Christmas music. I says, but I don't want to buy your CD, but here is $6 cash, and do what you will with it and have a good Christmas. And he says, you don't want a CD? And I says, no, I'll never listen to it. I says, look, you just made $6 off of me, and you still have another CD to sell. So you've been doubly blessed. And he just kind of laughed, and he went about his way. All right. This guy gets out of his car at the gas station, and he says, well, you guys have been working hard. And I says, well, yeah, we've been processing wood. And he goes, processing wood? He says, well, I've been trying to find somebody locally that's got firewood. Do you have firewood? And I says, well, we can get you some firewood. And he says, well, that would be great. Well, that's grace all over that.
It totally is. Yep.
See, what grace likes is when you just do something because it feels good,
right,
and you have the resources to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next thing that grace does is give you more resources and to feel even better. It, for lack of a better word, grace is like a drug dealer. They give you as many free samples of drugs so that you keep coming back.
And you That's good.
And you get hooked on it.
Yeah.
That's what grace does.
Yeah.
So having and look, I like a buck as much as the next guy. But to tithe or to give somebody money and say, well, I've done the due process, so now I expect a return, that's not anything to do with God. And there's nothing in Scripture that says, give a dollar, get $10 back just because. I mean, that sounds more like
right.
a pyramid scheme or Amway
right.
or something.
So I'll address the Scripture that people use. And that is, given it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. So the point, if you take that wrong, to look at it and say, good, if I give, then someone's going to give to me. Look at the motivation. Come on, James dealt with prayer that wasn't answered because of what? Because of the motivation of the heart. Now, you look at an instance where you're living in the course of your day and walking around and you're connected to God, and instances come up where you have opportunity to be a blessing or to reach out your hand to help somebody, and you just don't do it because your help is only one day a week at a specific time at a specific building. Well, look at the opportunities that you're missing all day long to do the smallest of little things. I mean, last night we got in from Idaho very, very late, and I went over to get my car. And, you know, I always tip the guys and find parking, you know, whether I had a suitcase or not, just because they came and got me and their van's all nice and warm. And, I mean, I had no suitcase. I was just picking up my car to go back, and the family was waiting with our suitcases. So, in a sense, to give them a couple bucks was fine. But I wanted to give them five. It didn't really make any sense. But I gave him five anyhow. Was very happy. He was so delighted. I'm getting my car, and I realize I don't have the means to get the ice off the windshield. The next thing I know, he's there scraping the ice off my windshield. And all I could say was, is thank you so much. I didn't have one of those things. And he says, oh, wait right here. And he runs in, and he grabs one of the ice scrapers, and he gives it to me and says, here's an extra one. Have this. So, I mean, not only do I get an ice scraper, I get my ice scraped off for free just because on the inside, I live from the inside out, where my heart was connected, had nothing to do with getting something, and had everything to do with giving something.
Well, the grocery store, you know the grocery store I use.
Yeah.
When I go to town, I go to this one grocery store. It's a little grocery store. Their prices are kind of high, but it's a family-owned grocery store. They've only got three grocery stores on the face of the planet, and so I do most of my shopping to support them. So anyways, after I go to the grocery store, I routinely go to the other side of the parking lot to a drive-in, and I get an ice cream cone for $1.19. So I get $1.19 at exact change, get in line, say ice cream cone, and then they give me an ice cream cone, and I'm on my way out back to the ranch.
Right.
Okay. I got home, and I noticed that there was a penny on the seat of the truck, which meant that hurriedly, I didn't give him $1.19. I gave him $1.18. I put my groceries away, and I said, why not? So I got back in the truck, drove back, and it was the same girl, and I just drove up to the window, and she says, well, you were just here a little while ago. And I says, here's the penny. I says, I screwed up in the dark, and she says, oh, I know. You were a penny short. She says, you came back to give me a penny? And I go, yeah. And she says, hold on. She gave me an ice cream cone.
Another one?
For free. And I says, can you give me a free ice cream cone? And she says, I didn't. The manager didn't. He's listening to this, and he thinks it's funny that you brought back a penny. And I says, well, it wasn't my penny to give, to keep. And see, that's, I'm not saying that you have to be perfect, but what I'm saying is that there's a spirit of grace behavior.
There's a scripture for that. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
And I mean, honestly, folks, I mean this with all sincerity. There isn't anyone who is not listening to the show, past, present, or future, that is not a better person than me. I'm not that nice of a guy. I am very old school. Jim will tell you, I'm strictly to the point. I'm not politically correct. I'm harsh. I am just old school country, and which means I just say it the way it is, and I expect a lot out of my workers, and they'll tell you that way. I'm not a real easygoing guy when it comes to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got another email.
I was going to share you my little story. We're in Boise, and we're at a traffic light, and there's a guy out there says, need help, you know?
Yeah.
And he looked just perfectly fine.
Clean shaven, clean clothes.
So I rolled my window down and held out, you know, a couple dollars out here. And the next thing I know, arm came out. He cleaned up, man.
Yeah. I always give him money.
And
always.
So Aaron said, you wanted to help him? I said, yeah. She goes, do you really think he needs help? I said, I think he spent too much money at Christmas. He's trying to recoup. I said, I might do this next year. She just laughed, you know. But the whole idea isn't getting something.
No.
It's the spontaneity of just having a willing heart to do whatever.
There was this guy at a street corner. He was kind of rough looking and dirty. And I was at the red light, and I opened up my ashtray, and my ashtrays are full of coins. I probably gave him $2-3 in coins, and somebody in my truck, they says, you don't even like people. Why would you give that guy money? You know he's just going to buy drugs or booze with it. And I says, what he does with that money is his business. All I know is I had it to give. It wasn't doing me any good. And I says, I've done dumber things with that much money before. Maybe it will actually do him some good. Who knows? At least I did what I could when I could. And they just said, well, isn't that interesting? All right, 13 minutes ago, 13, my lucky number, says, please do not use my name. Blessings, Brother Jim and BJ. Congratulations on the new edition of Robin, which Jim is playing with right now. He's playing with the puppy. I know of a guy who has experiences of helping people through grace. The leader of the building he attends hears about the testimonies the guy has, but leaves it at that. In their weekly meetings, the same people come forward needing prayer for healing. Instead of the leader asking questions, accepting assistance, or willing to repent, which could potentially help the people, he continues to go about things the same way, and the people don't get help. And it is a repeat week after week. Pharisees or what? Very frustrating.
Sure it is.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, all too familiar. So the cool thing is you actually recognize it. And that's not to point a finger at him. He can do what he wants to. But it's for you to be able to make the quality choices that cause that to not be you.
All right, we got an email that came in 6 minutes ago. It says, okay, hello, BJ and Jim. I recently had the opportunity to listen to the 8-part series on What is Reality. Do you know what they're talking about?
Yeah, it's something I did.
I recognize this theme in bits and pieces on your radio show, but to hear this in concentrated form all in one place was a real blessing. It connected so many dots for me. Thank you so much for prevailing in your endeavors to do this for so many of us that are hungry for the truth.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's from someone in Tennessee.
Yep.
Okay, we got another email here. It says, BJisms. That's the book of BJ.
Right.
Who was it that said there should be a book, the book of BJ? It says, hi guys and new puppy. Okay, grace is like a drug dealer. This is my new favorite.
That's good.
It says, old favorite when you compared Facebook to the bulletin board between men's and women's bathroom at the scuzziest truck stop. I use that one all the time. Laugh out loud. Tuned in late, so I will have to catch the front end of the show on the replay, but what a great place to pop in. And this is from someone in Bellevue, Nebraska.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah, what it was is, and I really believe this. I believe this wholeheartedly, that social media, Facebook, Craigslist, these places that you go, they are like a bulletin board that has old, dirty business cards and stupid flyers that are just worn and old, and it's between the men's and the women's bathroom in the nastiest truck stop, the dirtiest bathrooms on the face of the planet, and you don't even want to look at the billboard because you know that anybody that would post anything on that billboard has got to be someone that you don't want.
A little shady.
You don't want to deal with.
Right.
Welcome to Facebook, Craigslist,
right.
Social media, the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't take them seriously, even though I've posted all kinds of pictures of Robin on Facebook. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, the farther we get away from each other, from sharing a meal with a friend, to hearing someone's voice as they laugh in a telephone call because we'd rather text them, to have a serious conversation in email, not to see the fear, the pain, or concern in someone's eyes and the sad expression on their face as they spill their guts at a tragic moment because it's just so convenient for an email or a text message. Are we honestly serving ourselves any good at all? No. The more advanced technology becomes, the more modern we become, the less we lose our humanity. We lose that connection, not just to our friends and family, but we lose that connection to ourselves. Because as we become disconnected from other people, don't you think the possibility of becoming disconnected to yourself is also possible? That you will start to think of yourself in small little short tidbits like a text message,
mm-hmm.
abbreviated feelings, abbreviated words as you talk to yourself. The whole point of tonight's topic is to spill your guts.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah, to yourself.
To yourself. Keep it to yourself. Remember at the beginning of tonight's show, I said that you might possibly be listening to tonight's show with family or friends and look at them and say, it is none of your business what I'm getting from this show.
Yeah, exactly.
The relationship with Christ is a personal one.
Yes.
And however far you go, however close you become to the guys, well, that is your choice as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm refreshing the screens here to see if we've got any more emails. We're caught up on emails. We're caught up on text messages. We really got into some great emails and text messages.
I love tonight. The emails and text messages, folks. It makes for a really good show. Well, tonight again, we're always so thankful that you, the listeners, tune in to the show at 8 o'clock on Tuesday for the live broadcast. We know there are archives, but it's special when we have these times together, the emails, the text messages. So I trust tonight that as you've listened, that your heart is wide open, just like mine is. That your mind is wide open, just like mine is. I want to see greater and more wonderful things in the year 2016 than I saw now. In other words, it's really on my heart to always progress with God. How about you? So I pray for you that even before the end of this year, that it would be an everyday experience for you. Not as the world looks at the end of the year to be special, but every day is a special day for you to connect with God, to live from your heart, to be spontaneous with the Lord and enjoy a relationship where somebody called God is real to you. And this is what we pray, we believe for you to happen. For those of you needing healing, we just thank God that there is grace and there is an anointing that even from our broadcast can go into your body, even at this very moment, relieve you of pain, of struggles, of difficulties, heal your body, cause you to walk and to live free from sickness. And we'll be thankful for that right now in Jesus' name. Thanks for listening. Amen.
Well, what'd you think of tonight's show?
I enjoyed it. I really did. I think, of course, you know how we both really enjoy the text messages. It really causes the show to have some life to it. But I think the message was good tonight.
Do you smell something?
No.
I wonder if Robin, God, I get their names mixed up.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if Robin left a deposit in the barn.
It's been
a couple of hours. She took a nap. She drank some water. I mean, the girl's got, I don't fault her for it. She tries to give me signals that she wants to go outside. And sometimes I pick up on the fact she needs to go, and sometimes I don't. So step carefully when you stand up. She might have her own editorial on tonight's show.
Sure.
The dog might have other ideas of the quality of the show tonight.
She's making an impact everywhere she goes.
Hey, a personal message from me to the listeners of the show. Thank you for all your kind words about the loss of Ranger and your encouragement to get Robin and the cards and the letters and the support and the help and the gifts and everything. It's just meant the world to me. And I wanted just to say from myself, thank you. And I want you to know that I will take exemplary care of Robin. She will have amazing, fantastic skills, and she will have a wonderful life.
And for those of you that follow the Wednesday night, there will be no library tomorrow night because the library is closed early. But we will convene the following week, and we'll get up last week's show on the archives along with this week in the next day. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.